The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
One, two, three, four.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. It feels like life. It's better with you. My life. It's better with you. This is true. It's better with two. My life. It's better with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my brother and me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middlest brother, Travis McElroy. Woof, woof, big dog.
Stay to me.
Oh, Grav. What's wrong, buddy?
You weren't here.
You weren't here for your birthday. You weren't here.
I'm Griffin McElroy, the birthday boy. Actually, by the time this episode comes out, it will be dead ass 12 days after my birthday, so we're stretching
no,
the bit.
Griffin, this episode is going out same day. It's only been 5 days since your birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
it's not fine. Okay. That's not our fault though, Griffin, because because your birthday and 420 fall within, as you like to call it, a Griffin weekend.
Yes.
Then you went to Joshua Tree and did ayahuasca with Bono again.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Whenever it lines up, Griffin Griffin calls him Good Friday and Great Sunday. And those are his two.
And Jesus loves that. Holidays. He thinks that's like mad funny.
Hey guys, can I say something pretty bold? But I think that if Jesus was around today, he'd fucking love weed.
Whoa, right, Travis. Guys? That's cool, I know.
That's
dude.
So weird to say.
I've never thought about it, but I bet he probably would like to party.
Yeah, man, I think he'd be into that chill kush.
I did not do ayahuasca with Bono at Joshua Tree.
Oh, no, what happened?
I did do Datura with the Edge, and that is a similar experience. That is a similar experience to nosh on that good flower with the Edge. When you're on the Datura, and you're activating your spirit molecule, the Edge starts to look a lot like Bono. Like, ironically, the edges of the Edge vanish, and he's Bono, he's everyone.
Does he get angry if you just call him Edge? Like, will he respond to it?
I mean, do you call the Rock, Rock? Hello, Rock. No, he's not any old Rock. He's
well,
not
I call
some
him
Edge.
Dwayne Johnson, but famously, the Edge... I don't think the Edge has no name. I don't
he
know.
He has no name. He hasn't jizzed in 16 years.
Oh.
That's how seriously.
That's how he got the nickname.
That's how seriously he takes his art and his craft. A lot of people think Bono is the driving creative force in U2.
He jizzes all the time.
He did you,
constantly. Constantly
all,
jizzing
all day,
a little
every
bit.
Day. Yeah.
Did you guys hit up any of the big 420 sales this year?
Kohl's had some good ones.
Yeah.
My dispensary a few days prior, the guy said, make sure you come back in on 420, man. We're going to have some great sales. It's going to be crazy. And I was thinking about it and I was like, that sounds intriguing. But the thing that is not missing from the dispensary experience for me is crowding.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think we need to pack everybody in at one time to really heighten that experience.
Yeah.
I think this one doesn't need to be a shopping holiday. You know what I mean? Not everyone needs to be about commercialism. And it's really sad to see it perverted that way.
Yeah.
I guess is what my point.
I would also argue that maybe not only crowding, but maybe the least enjoyable version of people who would visit a dispensary, which is before they get weed.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Like, nobody's going to the dispensary when they already have plenty of weed. Right. They're going to because they need to get more.
Right.
And it's all still a federal crime. I want to make that really clear.
So wicked clear.
Because you can forget that often. And then you're like, oh, we've got this one day where we're going to get all the criminals in one building.
We're doing a sale on crime today.
We're doing a crime sale. We want to get all the criminals in one building.
We're doing a super special, a blue light special on illegal medicine. You're going to love
it. That would be actually a pretty fun guy to be an FBI guy. That day would be pretty good because you could stand across the street like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. It's like when I got busted for weed at Bonnaroo, and the guy just walked up and was like, yeah, like, I got, you're doing it. Right, I got you. You have a big bag of it. I got
we
you.
See it. Now, hold on. That's unfair because I've seen signs and stuff at places that are like, this is a drug-free zone. So there should be signs at Bonnaroo that are like, this is a drug zone. Like, if we're going to have drug-free zones, it implies the existence of drug-heavy zones.
This was '09. I said, bye. Haven't been back since. Get at Coachella. Does Coachella like to fucking party? I don't know.
I know nothing about Coachella except that I would bet you $1 million that you're not allowed into Coachella without drugs. Okay. I think that they planned the event, like the Wonka event that was in Ireland, I think, that was like, this would be so much better if you were on drugs. I think Coachella skimps on a lot of decorations and experience, assuming you'll be on drugs and it won't take much.
To accentuate it. Justin, what was your joke? I can tell it's bottled up in there, and I do not want it to.
No, I just get God, just I don't have it anymore. I said,
oh, juice, no, it'll fester in there, but I need that joke.
I said it, and it's gone. I said it, and it's gone.
Was it about Griffin being on a wanted poster?
Yes, it was. It was about Griffin being on a wanted poster.
Well, that's dope that Travis interrupted you and also heard the thing you were saying at the same time.
That's called ADHD.
Well, the ADHD, I've never understood ADHD.
It doesn't bother him to make the show in this fashion.
Right.
This is how he is consuming and creating the media. At what they're both happening.
Right. I didn't know ADHD allows you to bifurcate your whole, like, LR your brain to wow, that's incredible.
Trav, you leaning back and you shifted the focus to the YouTube Silver Play Button Award behind you. And every time I see it, it drives me absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
And Travis moves his camera in his office orientation constantly.
Yeah.
But every time in the shot is Travis's Silver Play Button. And he could say because it makes it look more professional, but it's just to antagonize us.
Absolutely.
He has this cool button that we don't have
with a skeleton puppet in front of it.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
That's from the Jeff Dunham collection, right, Trav? Bust us out some of that good Ahmed, my man. Give us some. Break me off a piece of that racist doll.
Hey, Griffin, you don't get a YouTube Silver Play Button for being racist.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good point, Travis.
Ask anybody.
Yeah. It's not just about subscribers.
No.
It's about the quality of a man's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of it.
They weigh that heavily.
When you are influencing people, they make sure that it's only good influencing.
They have to. You got to.
YouTube's on it. They're very careful.
Do you think YouTube sends the awards to channels that are just like, here's a 10-hour long video of a watermelon getting smashed over and over again to help you sleep?
Yeah. Here's 8 bars of the same sort of binaural beats for 10 and a half hours. Oh, what's that? An emerald button? Holy shit.
Wow. This is an advice show, and we're going to take your questions and turn them alchemy-like into wisdom.
I didn't mean to come for the binaural beats community just now.
No, they've been very helpful.
Yeah, I don't want to own that. That's not.
They make a lot of work. They do a lot of work. You know.
Well, they do 8 bars of a song that they repeat for 10 and a half hours.
I don't do that.
That's a lot more than me. 100% more binaural
for sure,
beats.
For sure, for sure.
I'm only making single neural beats.
And let me just say,
unilaural.
When I doubled down just then, binaural beats community, that was also a JK. So, like, fucking chill.
But also, when are you going to get to try neural beats? I need more beats for more neurals.
Okay. Please.
I work at a public school and I have a guinea pig at home. My boss, this is starting out to be a very good Tinder profile. Let's go.
Or a riddle that I
fish I caught.
Yeah.
My boss knows this. So every time the cafeteria has leftover or unclaimed carrots, she gives them to me for my guinea pig. The problem is there's no possible way my one guinea pig and I can eat all these carrots before they go bad. There are just too many. Brothers, how do I tell my boss that I don't want any more carrots? Or how do I use all the carrots? And that's from I have to go buy more ranch.
Now, hold on. I'm sorry, question asker. I missed the part where your principal is giving them for you to eat, too. Sounds like these carrots are for the guinea pig. Yeah. Why are you eating your guinea pig's carrots?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think you're already violating the spirit of the arrangement by eating any of the carrots. Is that for you? I don't know if you like carrots or not.
Do you make the guinea pig watch while you eat his carrots? Because I bet that's pretty confusing for the guinea pig.
If your principal brought these into you and you're like, hey, thanks, and went ahead and took a bite off one, if I was that principal, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing? Those are the guinea pig's carrots.
You cut up the carrots. Cut them up.
Yeah.
You put them in some chicken broth with some onions.
Ooh.
And then you cook them till they're soft, real soft.
Yeah.
Immersion blender. Woo. Got soup going.
Okay, there. But a guinea pig can't eat soup, Justin.
The guinea pig hates soup.
Well, you bring the soup back to the school.
And you
for the kids?
That's cool.
For the kids.
Where's the step where somebody puts a stone into the big thing before
the...
For kids to eat soup at school, you have to put a stone in it first and read stone soup, or else kids won't eat soup.
If I was teacher or principal...
Or guinea pig?
No. If I was principal, I would bring soup in all the time for my lovely kids. Easy. A bowl, maybe even, and whoever does the best job at school that day gets the principal's special soup.
Absolutely not. There's no friggin' way. The kind of principal I am, there's no way that these kids, I'm not going to give them the bait of me every morning trying to shepherd a boiling hot vat of soup.
No, one bowl. One bowl just for the good boy.
Just one?
One bowl for the good boy. Only.
Oh, it's an award soup.
It's an
award. Chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Crunchable situation.
No. Nope.
Now everybody watch.
Yeah.
As good boy Billy eats this soup.
Every morning we hold an assembly at my school.
Oh, it's morning soup?
Where I'm principal and we make the best kid eat the bowl of soup. Sometimes.
In the morning?
Sometimes it takes a long time because kids these days are allergic to a bunch of shit. But it would be so cool to have people love and respect me because of my soup and
sometimes,
my leadership.
Sometimes though, Griffin, I need to send a message, and on those days, I'm not going to give the soup to anybody.
You're going to eat the soup.
I'm going to eat the soup in front of, or I'll be like, maybe one of you all turns it around today, you got gazpacho by two.
That's cool.
But you have a few, before I dump it, but you got a little bit of time to earn the soup.
You think you want my soup? Get up here and arm wrestle me, the principal.
Oh. You have to come take it. You want the soup? I'm going to teach you a lesson about life. Soup isn't given. Soup is earned. Come up here and take this soup.
This is a problem also with, like, obviously food waste is a problem. There's people in every community.
Tell me about it. Food goes straight to my waste.
Justin, come back. Justin, come back. Justin, come back.
Justin had to quit the podcast with my joke.
Justin, come back. Come on.
Okay, I'm back on.
It was a good joke. I mean, it was a terrible joke, but it was said boldly.
I think I was going to say, in hindsight, I think I was going to say something like, anybody you would give these carrots to would eventually get tired of you bringing them carrots. There's nobody that wants you to bring them carrots infinitely, because that's just passing the problem on to you.
Is carrots one of them vegetables where you can stick whatever's left of it in the ground and more of the vegetable will grow? Because you could do that with, like, I think onion, potato.
Sure.
Sorry, Trev. Your solution to this problem is double the problem. Put in a little elbow grease to make the problem twice as bad for yourself.
Well, now you got a farmer's market going. You know what I mean? Now you're turning these extra carrots into a financial opportunity. Can I go back to the principal's morning soup for a second?
I would love to. I feel like we really splashed past it.
I think that more places need to institute kind of what they used to do on cruise lines. I don't know if they still do this, but a captain's table.
Yeah.
I think we need that, like a principal's table, a boss's table, something where it's just like, you've been selected to dine, you know, at the boss's table today.
They already do it on the JoCo cruise. I don't know why we can't do it. There's JoCo's table, right? And that's where the fancy folks
sit.
That's
where the power is.
That's where the power is, right? I walked past it one time and kind of like eyed an empty seat and I was like, nah.
And the Amy man was like, keep walking.
Keep walking.
Keep going. But.
Seat's taken. But.
I'm notorious bully, Amy man. Get out of here.
Somebody save me from this boring man. Keep walking, but. She does that shit so Jonathan doesn't have to.
Yeah. She's Jonathan's muscle.
Magnolia, how about you Magolia away?
That's cool. That kicks ass. Henry's school had an auction, and one of the items up for bid was principal for a day, where you, if you win the bid, be principal for a day. And I looked at that, and I thought it was prohibitively expensive, but I was like, what would I do? So I was like thinking about it for a long time, like what kind of changes I would institute on this one zany day at Henry's school. And I started to share some of those ideas with Rachel. And then she was like, you know, that's for the kids, right? And I was like, what? She was like, yeah, it's for the kids to be principal for a day to see what it's like to be the adult principal of the school. It's not for a grown up doesn't win this auction and then walk into school the next morning like, I'm now, in charge now.
Your wife is right, I think. But also in many ways, I would argue it makes more sense for an adult to take over the role of principal because there's a lot of responsibility there.
Sure.
Yeah. What if this child principal makes a rule that the parents have to go to school instead of the kids?
Right. Yes.
I'd rather I have a job.
Yeah. Hi, what, are doctors just going to leave people on the slab? Come on, man.
Okay. Now their blood's on your hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now the blood's on your hands.
Griffin, what were some of those changes? This is important now.
Yeah. What would you have changed about your son's school?
Hopefully they listen. So be honest.
2 days a week, but it's all fucking day. It is an overnight, two night a week sort of experience. Then you get 5 days to just kind of chill. That actually sounds awful. Now,
I was hearing that, and as a parent, and if I was a kid, I would hate that.
I liked a couple nights.
Yeah.
A couple parts of it were extremely strong.
Could you start school more at like 9 o'clock? That would be wonderful for me.
Yeah.
Double the length of the school day, but make school more fun to be at. Or any fun.
Yeah.
If you don't like Foursquare or soccer, any fucking fun at all.
Yeah. And make a rule that like the sports kids have to be nice to the indoor kids. Yeah.
Absolutely they do. I want to quadruple the quotient of niceness that sports kids show to.
Now, here's what we do. We weaponize Amy Mann. We have Amy Mann show up and bully the jocks. So the jock kids bully the nerd kids. But then who's that? It's Amy Mann. She's Drillbit Taylor-ing.
If you hire Amy Mann as Drillbit Taylor during your principal day, that you've grandfathered. It's like Supreme Court. That's a lifelong term.
Yep.
She's the PE teacher.
Oh, yeah, I guess that
she's
is.
She's a PE teacher. Personal emotions teacher, Amy Mann.
Yes.
She's there. She teaches.
Personal emotions.
Yeah, teaches you personal emotions. Get a second guinea pig?
That's good. More guinea pigs, more mouths, less carrots, more fun. More fun.
They say there's no bad ideas. That's a great example of like, we had to talk about what a gigantic, well-known bully Amy Mann is on and off the screen. And that brought Travis back around to a very good idea, which is more.
More
and they're social
pigs.
Animals. They want the companionship when you're not around.
And so
have
do
another
you.
One.
Yeah.
It's just twice as much love. Hey, listen, if you like a guinea pig enough to have a guinea pig, you'd probably like two guinea pigs a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have the carrots to spare, so you don't have to worry about extra food costs.
You have the sparrots.
And they don't get scarier when there's more of them. I get it. No, guinea pigs. You take a look at a cat and you're like, that's too much. And a guinea pig is like a quarter of a cat.
It's already not enough, is what you're saying.
Yes, but four of them, that's so much love. Let them just scamper all about.
Four guinea pigs equals one cat. One and a half cats equals one dog. Two dogs equals a mouse, strangely. I don't.
Yeah,
comes back around.
No, check this out. Freeze them.
The guinea pigs?
No. The carrots. Okay. Freeze them. They'll stay fresh.
Yeah.
And then imagine this delight on this guinea pig's face, and he's like, what is this? This frozen?
A carrot pickle? That's going to help keep their chompers down, because the chompers keep growing, and that's going to be good for the chompers. Then if you have some neighborhood kids come by on a hot day, and they're like, do you have popsicles or ice cream or something? Like, oh, do I have something even better than that?
Yeah.
God, we really helped this person a lot.
Yeah, I'm not even done yet. freeze them, not for popsicles, but in recognition of the fact that you are not always going to have an infinite free carrot hookup.
Yes, we're going to ant that. You're a grasshopper. You need to be an ant.
You need to be an ant. Freeze these. I don't plan on eating a ton of carrots.
Yeah.
Anytime soon. Yeah. I ate one big carrot the other day that was like honey glazed, and it was very good, but it was at the end of that one carrot, I was like, that was a lot of carrot.
What is the deal with vegetables like carrots and celery, right?
Yeah.
What is it? I'm trying to meet them halfway. I do everything I can when I buy, like, I get baby carrots, which is just big carrots cut small. Like, I'm doing everything I can to make them seem as fun as chips.
Yeah.
Because I know that they got a lot of nutrition and vitamins, right?
So I love to eat,
and I'm good. It feels good in my body to eat them.
Cool sound. What is, cool fucking
cool
sound. Celery
sound
or carrots.
Nice to brag about.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what is this thing that they got going on? Where every fucking bite of these guys tastes kind of different. Like, I eat celery one time. Yeah. I try it sweet and crisp.
Yeah.
We're loving it. I get celery a different time. I take a bite, peppery pennies.
No thanks.
I don't like it anymore.
So bitter.
It's bad. You know what doesn't do that? Pringles. Ever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're just Pringles, right? Like,
right.
I feel like if we could have a little bit more... Baby carrots are getting there, but with a big carrot, you'll take one bite that's so carroty and good, and then you'll take another one. Ah, it's burning?
It tastes like the underside of the farmer's boot. Hoots made it.
I'm just going to say, as long as we're on this subject,
yeah,
if you hand me like a crudité, and it has raw broccoli on there, I love broccoli. I love vegetables. Raw broccoli. No one has ever popped a piece of raw broccoli in their mouth and thought, I'm so glad I did this.
I love this.
I don't regret this at all. You have to put so much dip on a piece of raw broccoli to trick yourself into eating it.
Yes.
Like giving a pill to a dog in peanut butter.
I love to eat 200 to 300 dry and rubbery seed pods in one mouthful. Yeah, excellent.
There's only one guy that loves raw broccoli, and that's Rob Broccoli coming at you live every Sunday night at 8:30 p.m. on the X.
8:30 p.m.
Rob Broccoli.
Why did they put him on so late?
What?
Why did he put him on so late?
I don't plan on eating a lot of carrots in my life, but the shit adds up, is what I'm saying. You don't expect it. If you were to look at a bathtub filled with the number of carrots you would eat in your life, oh my God, what if you looked in and there's only like 2 carrots in there? Oh no, what's going to happen to me? Because I know
they talk about that in the Bible when you show up to heaven and then the angel says, look in this bathtub. Only two, huh?
Hey, can we go to the wizard's castle in the clouds?
Yeah, sure. I have to return this DVD to him of Gulliver's Travels starring Jack Black. He loaned it to me forever ago. And I've been meaning to give it back to him.
I'm so glad.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah. Most notable thing about Gulliver's Travels, it is the film that was shown to challenge winners on Survivor.
I remember that.
they got all the movie snacks they wanted, and then they went to see Gulliver's Travels. And then they filmed them after watching it, like they do in the commercials, and they're like, I was laughing the whole time.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, dude, you've been reading Leaves for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
After that, you're like, I thought it was pretty funny. I bet fucking seeing bugs go back and forth gets pretty funny. Yeah.
This one was sent in by several people. It is a WikiHow article for this one. It's how to make it rain money.
Ooh.
This is under the category magic and delusion performance magic tricks.
Okay.
I've never thought of someone in some sort of club environment throwing money all over the place and been like, how did they fucking do that? Wow.
Well, I've been like, how did they do that? Like, have the disposable income to be willing to do that in a crowded public place?
Yeah.
Like,
is this going to help me get the money also, Griffin?
It's just about how to launch paper money into the air.
Okay. Here's what I'll say. It doesn't have to be with money, but get a bunch of pieces of paper in your hand and try to do them one at a time. No, you're going to be in the club without this article, big stack of $1 bills probably, and you'll be like, here we go, time to make it. And it all goes out in one swipe because you don't know how to shuffle up and deal. So you may not ever have to do this in your life.
Okay. But I would like to be able to be prepared to, yes, to nail it if I need to. Yeah.
Check this shit out. Making it rain is when you hold a stack of bills in one hand and use the fingers of the other hand to peel off bills one at a time in rapid fashion and or throw out small increments of bills.
The rapid fashion part is so important.
Super duper important.
You're like a joke otherwise.
You can't drizzle it. Throw out small increments of bills out on valets, doormen, dancers, and prominent cheesesteak shops. I don't understand that.
I bet that that's something from Jersey Shore.
Maybe.
That feels like something they would do.
The bills float in the air, creating the effect of raining money. This is usually done with stacks of single dollar bills for effect. Is it Monday morning, a holiday, or just whenever you feel like? Wonderful. Time to make it rain. Fuck okay. Yeah.
But not pennies, right?
Not pennies.
And not pennies off a tall building. I've watched Mythbusters. That shit gets dangerous.
It does. Step one, get some money.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, does that link to a previous article that explains how to do that?
Yes, let me click on it. It says plasma. Get rid of it.
Okay.
It says you can't make it rain plasma. I mean, you can, but it would be horrific.
Yeah, we don't. There's a scene in Fallout, actually.
Find a job. Help out your neighbors. Cash those checks. Go to the bank and ask for $1 bills. The more bills you have, the better. You want a veritable downpour, not a drizzle.
They love that at the bank. If you roll up and you cash a big check and you say all in ones, they don't look at you weird at all.
No, they love that.
They love it.
They do love it. They love to have to put in the most sort of physical effort to get you the small amount of money that you are requesting as is possible. While you're at the bank, check to make sure that the stacks of $1 bills or 20s, if that's how you roll, don't stick together. Sometimes fresh bills, all crisp and hot off the presses, adhere to each other. If this is the case, ask for rainable bills. The teller, if they've any sense, won't ask any questions.
Sorry.
Can I get those bills rainable, please?
Of course, sir. Say no more. Again, you're the fifth one today.
I'm saying that normal thing.
Untraceable, rainable, edible. Bills.
In Multiple. Ones, of course, right, sir?
In 20? Ones, yes. I've got this many. How much bills?
Do you
bills?
Want them marked or unmarked? Unmarked? Perfect.
Does the marking make them sticky? Because, I cannot have these bills be sticky.
Well, why not laminate your bills? If you just laminate the individual bills, this is going to go way easier.
That could be cool. Yeah. I feel like that cash still spins, right? No.
Traveler's checks?
If you laminate money, can you still spend it? This is important. Now, listen, Griffin, can I just say, easier version.
Wait, real quick, before we move on, in case me in the past is listening, sorry, bud, you never figured out what traveler's checks are. You're 42, 43, maybe, and you still have no clue. I don't think they're a thing anymore. Please stop mentioning them. Okay, thanks. All right, back to the show.
Is it legal to laminate money?
It is. Mm-hmm. As far as I can tell, you can't, destroy it.
Yeah.
Or, fuck it up in some way, but some places might not take it because can you imagine, you're going through the till at GameStop stealing as much as you possibly can, and then you get one unyielding bookmark of a piece of legal tender. That would drive me fucking up the wall.
So then cut out, I've got it. Cut out the middleman, make your own money out of easily rainable bills. Why go through the process? If you're just throwing it, not for the one where you hand it to people, but the one where I'm in a club and I'm just swiping it off of a stack into a random crowd, why would that need to be real money? I'm not buying anything.
It should just be all, chick tracks and Christian pamphlets.
The ones that you open up and it's like, oh, a 20, and you open it and it's like, oh, mage, look. Anyways, Jesus, huh?
Yeah, that's so great, by the way. I always love those when it's like, fuck yeah, $50 bill, and you pick it up and it's like, not today, friend. JK, Jesus, have you thought about hell and death? Now. Do it now.
That's always been really good PR for Jesus, by the way.
Super good.
Everybody gets so excited when that happens, and they're like, huh, this nasty trick that made me excited for money but turned out just to be literature made me like the idea of Christianity so much more.
Yeah. Hold the money in one hand in an orderly stacked pile. You'll be holding the money in your non-dominant hand and making it rain with the other. Make sure you have a firm grasp on the entire stack so none of it gets away from you. Only hold as much money in your palm as you can handle. If it goes too far above your fingertips, things could get unruly or someone could run off with your cash.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. That cuts out the middleman. That would be, that's a great time to get mugged. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Help yourself.
If somebody went to steal my money while I was doing that, I would say, could you not just wait?
Yeah.
3 seconds. Let me finish the stunt.
Hey, everybody, this guy is trying to take all the money.
Yeah. It's cool. Actually, one loophole. You can make it rain and still get to keep all your own money if every time you do it, you just go, oops, 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 oops. And then people are like, let me get those for you. I said oops, so you guys can't take those. And I will be count. I know how much was in this pile beforehand.
I would love to see that in like a Dungeons and Dragons-esque movie where a guy like throws, you know, a handful of coins to distract a crowd. And then it's like, and now I need those back. And you just see the scene of him going around and going, I saw you pick up two. Give me those back. I dropped them. I said whoopsie daisy when I did it. Oh, yeah. Okay. He did say whoopsie daisy. Those are the rules. Here you go, sir.
Peel the money off an emotion that resembles an all stay signal in blackjack. I don't think I know.
Oh, so that's where you wave your hand like you're doing.
Oh, I see. So you're like
linked to another article about how to play blackjack.
So you're like, before the hand touches the money, you got to get the motion.
You
got
to get it going. Yeah.
So that when you bring the hands together, it's like a roast beef slicer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maintain a carefree and arrogant countenance while making it rain.
That is important, because if you started going, oh, no,
oh, here I go.
Why am I doing this?
I'm doing so many. Somebody stop me.
I lost my job today. What am I thinking?
Just act like this is your normal Tuesday afternoon, and the ground being rained on by you isn't worthy of your footsteps, much less your cheddar. What the fuck are you talking about?
Now, I will say that if you want to get your money back, doing it on a Tuesday afternoon at the club is probably the easiest time to do it and then just go pick it up off of the empty floor.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it okay to make it rain a bill, grab it before moving on to the next bill? So it's like you're playing your own kind of like, you know, grand prize.
I think in a practice scenario, if you're in like a hermetic, you're just running drills.
Okay, getting creative. One, use a fan. You know it can blow money all around a room and keep it flowing away more effectively than your own bare hands? A giant fan. Set it on a high level with enough room in front of it to add your stacks of cash. Turn it to the on position when it's not plugged in. That way, when you go to plug it in, you're in front of it when it turns on, ready to get rained on and rained on and rained on as your dead presidents swirl through the air.
Now, hold on. Is that the line?
That's awesome.
That sounded like you were making that up, Griffin.
Okay, I'm going to read this sentence.
Every part of this is... Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to read this whole thing all over again. Because it's fucking unhinged. It's one of the more unhinged, like, from a conceptual standpoint, a physical standpoint.
And while Griffin reads it, picture walking into a room and seeing your friend doing this.
Okay, good.
Your friend walks into the room. They are carrying an unplugged box fan and a stack of 45 single dollar bills.
Mm-hmm.
You know what can blow money all around a room and keep it flowing way more effectively than your own bare hands? You fucking stupid idiot.
Yeah, your friend turns to you and says this as you walk in.
A giant fan. Set it on a high level with enough room in front of it to add your stacks of cash. Oh, so like 3 inches? Make sure you have 3 inches in front of your fan before you turn it on. Don't turn it on up against a wall. Turn it to the on position when it's not plugged in.
This is the part that they felt like they had to include that kills me. Go ahead, sorry.
Turn it to the on position when it's not plugged in. That way, when you go to plug it in,
like
to the wall.
Like fucking Doc Brown. No, you've got an extension cord.
No, Travis, let him finish.
When you plug it in, you're in front of it when it turns on, ready to get rained on and rained on and rained on as your dead presidents swirl through the air. Life is so beautiful. The things that are possible in it.
You could also do that since just put a plastic bag there and watch it dance around on your camcorder.
Why is it cooler to turn the fan on?
Then
like at the moment be like, hey everybody, here it goes.
Yeah.
And then you crouch over and crawl over and reach behind the vending machine and find the one plug and plug it in.
Yeah.
And then you scramble back up and stand. Why is that better than just turning it on?
When Nikola Tesla invented the switch, it was because he was trying to make it rain doubloons or whatever the fuck money they used back then.
Lightning bolts, probably. That guy was weird. Yeah.
But you had to fucking run to the wall, plug it in, and then run back in front of the fan to try to make the doubloons blow away. And he was like, this is a pain in the ass. What if I could control the electricity traveling into the device with a toggle on the device?
Yeah.
And Edison was like, I just built a big tube that people can get into, and the money swirls around them, and they have to grab it like little peasants. And Nikola Tesla was like, damn, that's not the beauty of the art, but that is fucking better. My big client Bozo's show bought it from me. I'm rich.
Make it rain over people. Sure, you can make it rain by yourself. You could run around your room spreading the dough, raining on your head as part of your nighttime routine, and then go to sleep comfortably on your piles of simoleons. Or you could take your stacks and liven up any party, a coffee date with a friend, or dinner time with your parents. Think of the endless possibilities.
Okay.
You absolute madman. You can't have dinner time with your parents and make it rain on them. There is no
not on them, but it would be a real power move, right? You're like 23, 24, and your parents, you're going out to dinner with your parents, and your parents are like, and how are you doing on money? Like, how are you? You're like, oh, how am I doing on money? Maybe this will answer your question. And you turn out to the rest of the tables, and you just start raining money onto their
No, you make it, you so honor sick. Your mother and father, you make it rain on them.
You think that the puddle should be splashing on my mom and papa before
they've given
randos.
You so much. You can't give them back 45 single dollar bills in a playful fashion while you're kicking
at
Ruby
Tuesdays. At least a kiss of a spray
for mom and dad.
A kiss of a spray. Maybe start on mom and dad and then oscillate like a sprinkler you around the rim. You gotta circle. You can't just do one direction. You have to.
You don't want
to
pile up.
Yeah, you don't want to pile up. You want to hit all corners of the room. Mm-hmm. And if the restaurant's too bad, you want to space out other people making it rain so that you get a nice even coverage of the room.
So you'll probably want to coordinate together beforehand. Springing it on them could result in them diving for your cash or thinking you're a money-grubbing materialist. And who knows, maybe they'll want to make it rain with you. Talk about a flood of money. That's so fucking cool. I've never made it rain or been present when that would happen, because why the fuck would I? Where would I be? But if someone started to make it rain, and then the one person receiving it was like, you know what? Also,
that would be cool. If everybody in the nation did that, and then we all picked up the same
how much
number
you needed
of dollar bills, just what you needed, okay?
Yeah.
And that's legally sort of mandated, right?
Yeah.
That is not a
it's
sort
not
of
legally
option.
Mandated, but like be. Cool.
And maybe
cool.
At the end of the day, if it turns out you had some left over, you put it back into the thing. And then in the morning.
You don't know, has any left over. You just take exactly
what you need.
What you need.
And it'll
so
all
you don't have
add
over.
Up. You know?
And then if there's any left over, Trav, few churches just for me.
Maybe a church or two. You know
thank
that
you,
one.
Thank you, Macro Brothers, for fixing everything.
You know that one scene in It's a Wonderful Life where the stock markets crash and there's a run on the building and loan?
Yes,
and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you guys my honeymoon money. I've got like, you know, $200 here because it's 1915. But I'll give everybody out whatever you need. And that one guy walks up and he's like, I'll close out my account. I want $40. And everyone's like, dude, that's like so much money. And he's like, I want $40. And they give it to him anyway. That man should be exiled from the community.
Yeah.
They don't show that man again in the film. He should be pushed into a river. That's fucking nutrageous, man.
Yeah.
There needs to be some punishment.
Griffin, that was really weird. That was like Travis and I were looking at a painting and you were on the upstairs floor of a museum and you're like, the guy's got to see this. And you walked all the way down and they walked all the way over. You're like, guys. And we're like, well, we're looking at this painting. You're like, no, Justin, you got to come with me. And then like 3 minutes later, you're like, ta-da. What do you think?
I'm not wrong, though, right? That guy sucks shit.
No, that guy sucks shit.
Yeah, it's just like...
But he's not the biggest villain. If you're talking about capitalistic villains in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, Mr. Potter steals the deposit money.
Oh, of course, man. You don't need me to tell you Mr. Potter is bad. I just want to remind you that this one man is also bad in the film It's a Wonderful Life. Make it rain from a helicopter. Go big or go home, right? You're going to make it rain. Might as well make it rain. If a helicopter isn't readily available, find a high point you can drop it from. The rooftop, the Eiffel Tower, a mountain.
If the helicopter isn't readily available, I'm going to need some more specifics than that. Like, if my if I can't get access to one, period, or if mine isn't ready.
I'm pretty sure any helicopter, when you put the money out the window, is just going to suck it upwards into the threshing maw of the helicopter.
Now, Griffin, I'm sorry, but I assume the helicopter blades are pushing down, or else the helicopter would be going in the wrong direction. If
Hold
the
on,
helicopter is pulling air up, it is rapidly descending. I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure it has to be pushing the air down to stay up.
But the force of the suction above the helicopter would be higher than the push force below the helicopter. So it would suck it up into the blades and chop it up forever and ever until it was
like,
a fine dust.
I feel like the helicopter expert has already cut us off in their TikTok. Like, they're like, that's enough from them. So here's
Hi,
the
I'm Hank Green. Let me tell you.
Stank Green probably does know about helicopters, though. God dang it.
Damn it.
Shoot. Think of it as charity.
Have they talked? Is there a section in this where they talk about picking it back up?
Last step, or just pick it back up. Because who has thousands of dollars to spend on strangers? Just know that if you do choose to make it on someone at your local Burger King, you'll probably have some pretty stiff competition when it comes to recollecting your change. That's awful. Finders keepers, losers weepers, you know, so maybe you should stick to your living room, bathtub, or at most backyard. How much risk are you willing to take? This is a great point. If you do drop, if you make it rain from a helicopter, the amount of precipitation will be reduced by one helicopter ride of money.
I see what you're saying. The cost is included.
The cost of helicopter makes the rain less bodacious. Like, what if a helicopter costs $400 and you've got $430 to make it rain?
All right, so that's overhead. There's literally overhead.
Literal overhead. It's terrible.
The problem there with it being spread out, Griffin, to your point, if I'm in a helicopter and I drop $31 bills, if 30 raindrops fell from the sky, spread out over like 12 city blocks, people wouldn't be like, oh shit, it's raining.
Yeah.
If I'm going to drop bills from a helicopter, the number of bills I would have to drop for it to register.
Yeah, Joker levels.
Yeah.
Big burlap sacks.
Yeah. Or big, huge money. If I printed my own money and made it quite large, I think people would notice that.
Yeah. The bills in Trav Nation are
laminated.
Really, they're laminated. They're boogie board size.
You drop giant novelty checks just raining down
for $1 each.
They're made of fiberglass. Hurtling
tragedy today.
Somehow the suction force of the helicopter blades push them at lightning speeds down towards the ground. And some of them, conversely, rocketed up into the air.
Chopped it up. Those were the asbestos ones. I just wasn't thinking.
I lost my husband today.
But a dollar.
I think the shard of the check I got is worth about $1.50. Hey, can we go to the money zone so we can make it maybe rain one day ourselves?
It's better with you.
You got a website. You got to get out there and make yourself known with a big, beautiful website.
Mm-hmm.
Squarespace makes the biggest websites around.
I don't think that's right.
That's true. There's a toggle can turn on, and it makes the website so fucking big that you can't even fit it in your browser if someone tries to download it and break their computer because of how many teraflops it has on it. Which is incredible. It's not just going to be big, though. It's going to be a beautiful website.
A BBW.
That's what that stands for. And Squarespace is going to help you get there. It's an all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online with a beautiful BBW site.
Squarespace. So, Griffin, what you're saying is if I go to Google and search BBW, it'll take me straight to Squarespace.
No, that's inaccurate. But I'll tell you what is accurate. These websites are going to be easy to build no matter what your skill level is. They got great support for you, and they have great templates that are going to look great when you make your website. So
they've got one template called fucking Monstro. It's so goddamn big. It'll make your head explode. Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to do, what I'm getting from you, Justin, is that I want to make sure that they're where I need them to be, right? So I'm going to search BBWs in my area on yes. Google, right? And then that will take me straight to Squarespace?
Go to squarespace.com is actually the preferred URL for a free trial. Okay. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/mybrother.
For all the BBWs in your area, squarespace.com/mybrother.
You do need to let Justin finish the
If I could just say the call to action, which is squarespace.com/mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I like my meals. Frozen.
I like my meals.
I like my meals fresh, never frozen. I like them to be chef crafted. I like them to be dietitian approved. I like them to be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. And so far, I've been shit out of luck. So I'm hoping that you guys are able to help me. How do I get those?
Damn, it really seemed like you were about to set up and spike the ad ball in one go. But
it's, we're doing ads?
So Factor can do all those things for you, Travis.
Fuck yes.
All right, man. They got meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Yeah. It's not asparagus's fault that it was placed inappropriately in the list.
Factors, fresh, never frozen meals are chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Hell yeah.
We have a weekly menu of 35 options. You can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast on the go, lunch, snacks, beverages even, to help you stay fueled and feel gooled all day long.
Elliot Gould.
Elliot Gould all day.
Feel like Elliot Gould with these fucking never frozen meals. They're tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries, and they don't even give a shit. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Not just like a balloon of gas. It's real food. It shouldn't have to say that on their, it doesn't say that on their website, but they do have pictures of real food. So you know for a fact you can get that garlic filet mignon and basil pesto shrimp penne.
Ooh.
Roasted broccoli and smoky onion butter. I didn't even know you could make some of that shit.
Yeah.
So good.
You can. So just go to factormeals.com/brother50 and use code BROTHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code BROTHER50 at factormeals.com/BROTHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor Meals. Fuck yeah.
Yum,
that's not their tagline. I can't stress that enough.
That's their tagline.
That's my pitch for what a tagline should be.
That's pretty good.
Factor Meals. Fuck yeah.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to... oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, man. Hell yeah.
I want a munch.
Squad.
I want to munch.
Squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad, the podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating. I have one unweed-lated story, and then I have two of people trying to get in on the 420 craze. I just want to tell you first off, because it's like tangentially related. Sonic is having groovy fries.
Who's doing what?
Sonic is doing groovy fries. Huh. It's a new fry that's hot. It says here, it's a new fry that's hot, crisp, perfectly salted,
so good.
Made with fry lovers in mind.
Huh.
What, as opposed to normal fries, where they're like, people who hate fries are going right. to... fucking love these unsalted wedges.
Are you guys ready to see groovy fries? It's a Sonic innovation, their first fry refresh in 10 years. Here we go. Groovy fries.
Those are fries, man. Those are fries. It looks like there's a cup of fucking good burger sauce in the back.
Oh, they have grooves.
Yeah. So they're groovy fries. They're crinkle fries.
Fuck off.
I don't like that.
They have improved taste and functionality. With grooves made for perfect dipping. Guys, is that the deal with the crinkles? I've never thought about it until this exact second.
Not once.
Is that the deal with the crinkles?
No. I think that's the deal with waffle fries, is that you can scoop up and get like little membranes of ketchup inside of each little cranny. But the crinkle, I think, is just for weirdos who like not having a uniform potato eating experience.
Can I tell you, one of my favorite Munch Squad occurrences is when companies try to act like they just invented a thing that has been happening forever.
Absolutely. It's every other
person. It's like, release. This is our new innovation, crinkle cut fries.
They will arrive at Sonic locations nationwide by mid-May, and the brand promises more fun and crave-worthy surprises in the months ahead. Their deep grooves allow for optimal dipping, so fry fans can scoop up even more of their favorite sauce with each dip.
Okay.
I became uncomfortable with saying that sentence aloud about two-thirds of the way through, but I had to power on through. Our Sonic tots are iconic, but we thought it was time to give them some competition, says Mackenzie Gibson, admitting her fries are garbo and have been since the jump. With the new groovy fries, we're redefining what a fast food fry can be and giving folks another reason to say, yes, I would like fries with that. I love it when these brands are like, yeah, it's been trash. Our fries are trash.
Yeah, man.
They're fucking stupid ass fries. So the ketchup just slops right off of them, dumbass
Think
fries.
Think about it. Try in your head right now. Try to answer definitively whether or not we sell French fries. I bet
you
can't
even
do it.
Man. We're so sorry.
I have two 420 stories here for you guys. And one of these brands will be forced to never do a weed ad again. Now, how will I do that? Whichever one you all decide, I'm going to draft an email to their press department and tell them that they are no longer permitted to do a weed joke. But you guys get to decide who that email is going out to, okay?
Okay.
This is a lot of pressure.
Jimmy John's lights up with the launch of Deliciously Dope Dime Bag to celebrate 420.
Damn, they went pretty deep in the paint with that one, man. That's
they go really. Okay, it's a new limited edition curated 420 meal to celebrate the highest of unofficial holidays. Jimmy John's is rolling out the Deliciously Dope Dime Bag, a curated meal with a tongue-in-cheek nod to 420 culture, sure to give everyone's munchies. No, sir, to cure everyone's munchies. Jimmy John's, a go-to 420 destination,
because they have food.
Because they have food. Is giving the people what they want with the launch of their new meal. Available for order online starting today through April 21st for $10 with promo code DIMEBAG.
Can I just say?
Is it just a combo meal, but they're doing a deal on it?
No, it says, Griffin, it's a limited edition bag that will be available at participating locations across the country.
What's in it?
It contains all you need to cure your 420 cravings.
Can I just say, when I think about munchies, I've never eaten something when I had the munchies and been like, thank God, it's cured.
Listen, This is at, here's what you can have on 420. It's a mouth-watering hand-sliced smoked ham and provolone cheese sandwich topped with jalapeno ranch, extra oregano basil, sliced pickles, crispy jalapenos, and fresh sliced lettuce and tomato and a spear of a fan favorite Jimmy pickle. And then there's a brownie in there for you and a chip. Quote, Jimmy John's is not new to 420. Said Kate Carpenter.
That's what I say anytime I roll up to a party. Are you guys having weed? Because I'm not new to 420.
I know about it. We've celebrated with the highest people in the country by hosting.
That can't be true. If you are celebrating the launch of your sandwich bag with the highest, with me people. And the Edge after sipping that good Datura tea, just like,
some of them smoked so much weed, they stopped existing for a minute. But our sandwiches brought them back from the Edge. Wink, wink.
What if Jimmy John's was two guys? My sandwich has a heartbeat!
Celebrated with the highest people in the country.
I'm the sandwich now!
Oh no, me and the sandwich switched places!
they hosted a sandwich-filled celebration 10,000 feet above sea level.
And there were no cops there.
Last year, we turned a Jimmy John's into a sandwich dispensary.
Oh man,
with sandwich wrap rolling papers.
Can I say, I worked at a Jimmy John's for a couple months.
Yeah.
Before quitting. And one time I came in and my boss was like, you have too much stubble. And I said, I'm allowed to have a beard. It's in the dress code. And he said, you're allowed to have a beard or be clean shaven, but not in between. And I said, Austin, for that was his name, I feel as though you don't understand the process that one reaches the beard with. And he handed me a rusty disposable razor and made me shave in the bathroom at Jimmy John's, where the water did not get hot and there was no shaving cream. So for that to happen, and then years later, Jimmy John's to be like, we're fucking cool.
We know.
Stoner culture, we're so laid back. It's really hard for me to square that away.
I wanted to let you guys know that select fans across the country will be surprised with additional merch, including a Jimmy John's branded rolling tray. For catching crumbs from the chips, of course.
Oh, man.
And they then are smoking fucking, them.
They are wild for this one.
To put it bluntly, Jimmy John's has high expectations for this year's celebration.
Well, you started just being like, fuck it, we love weed. And now they're getting cute?
Yeah. This one, I won't. Jimmy John's can do as much weed stuff as they want to. They get a free. I don't know who the other one is that you've got for us today, but they lose because this is good. And I want Jimmy John's to stay out here making this art.
Okay. Wingstop Hot Box is returning on April 20th with the hot chili rub. Let's see here. The hot chili, guys. THC.
This is the wettest box. Chili. Okay. This is the wettest box of non-soup food I've ever seen in my life.
In celebration of 420, Wingstop is taking munchies to new highs with an elevated flavor experience to satisfy cravings nationwide. Available some the dates, the flavor experts are bringing back Wingstop Hot Box, featuring their newest strain of THC, the hot chili rub.
Can I say to the art department at Wingstop, we're looking at an image here, and I believe what they're going for is like it's a hot box, right? So there's smoke coming out of it when you open it. But instead, it does look like perhaps a witch's cauldron is bubbling, and there's maybe some mysterious steam and fog coming off of it. It's not giving hot box so much as giving like middle school production
ritual
of
something. Yeah.
Wingstop recognizes that fans love to celebrate this special day with Wingstop's flavors in hand. The cook-to-order Wingstop Hot Box will spark up fans' taste buds with their choice of the iconic chicken sandwich, eight-piece classic, or boneless wings or three-piece tenders.
Bump this. No fucking way, Wingstop.
All right, you get one more chance. Here's the quote. Our fans count on Wingstop to deliver flavor when cravings hit, and 420 is no different, says Melissa Cash, who kind of sounds like she's trying to make it sound like they are not aiding and abetting. Like, don't, yeah. We're not doing anything. It just, it's like any other day for us.
They this would eat the business. Wings anyway. It's not a, it doesn't and, have to be a weed thing.
At least they're getting their wings safe from us, where we yeah. know that the wings are pure and uncut.
Here, we yeah. run a bone exchange program here at Wingstop.
Meanwhile, Jimmy John's is raining syringes from a blimp.
Yeah, man.
Onto the crowd waiting to get in the Wingstop. They're just dumping big sandwich bags of cocaine. Listen, this year, we're bringing back the Wingstop Hotbox with a bold new flavor that elevates any experience during this special day. Melissa, are you a cop?
Are you an AI cop? Are you RoboCop? Maybe even?
The AI cop.
Yeah, Wingstop, no. You don't know what you're doing with it. Jimmy John's, regardless of what you think about the company and its practices, they made some pretty good appeals to the stoner sensibilities.
It gets worse. At the end of the Wingstop one, it says THC, the hot chili rub, contains no cannabis, THC. Or cannabis.
Fucking get out of here.
Get out of here, you nerd.
Get out. Get out.
They don't know about 420 and what it means and what it stands for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe they don't go hunt elephants in Africa with a big gun, but they don't get the weed stuff. So
yeah.
They also didn't make me shave with a rusty razor, though.
That's true.
Do you,
that is the plus for Wingstop.
Do you really think that man, who may or may not have been Jimmy John, when he killed that big elephant with that very big gun,
That was James John.
He was probably pretty fucking high when he did that. You gotta think.
On adrenaline, if nothing else.
I don't think I'm gonna make any excuses for James John.
He was not high on snorted crushed ivory.
No.
And he
he got high to kill the elephant.
Yeah.
I've never in my life looked at an elephant and been like, bet it'd feel pretty cool to kill that. But
this
I'm
is
sure
what Griffin has heard.
Yes.
It's really important to stress.
But there's probably
be allowed to kill an elephant if you've taped two knives to your face and you go at it, you're on all fours, elephant's on all fours, tusk to tusk. Then if you manage to kill an elephant like that, I gotta give it to you.
They don't tell you this about the limitless pill.
Yeah.
One of the limits is I shouldn't be killing these elephants. I shouldn't hunt an elephant. That's a limit. That's a limit that we set on ourselves morally, ethically, legally. That is a limit. The limitless pill means you're going to blow right past that. It's the first thought you have is got to kill one of these big elephants. Number two is I'm going to reorganize my kitchen.
I would like to see Limitless 2, where they give the limitless pill to elephants.
Yes.
And just see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, at a certain point, if there's no limits, then let's
get silly.
Wild.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of fun here today, Juice.
We've had a lot of fun.
We've had
a
lot of fun here
today. You know what's even more fun?
What?
When people buy tickets to see our shows.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were going to say when people come to our shows or doing the shows or getting a chance to get back out there.
That's fun. But I like when they buy the tickets.
Yeah.
That makes me feel happy and then lets me make it rain in limited quantities in responsible locations.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if you're coming to Chicago, my brother and me show, congratulations, because that's sold out. So you got tickets to it when it was cool. But if you're going to be there and you want questions that are answered, make sure that you send us those with Chicago in the subject line. And if you want your wish for Fungalore to be read at the show, you can send that as well with Chicago in the subject line to mbmbam@maximumfun.org. For the Chicago Taz, we're doing The Adventure Zone versus Moby Dick. With the same characters we do from Adventure Zone versus Dracula, it's going to be a hoot and a half. There are some tickets available for that. And we're going to be at C2E2 right after the shows. The following days. We're not like going there at night. That would be wild. But you can get tickets to all of that and see our C2E2 schedule by going to bit.ly/McElroyTours.
Hey, we got some new merch up in the store. We're doing a bundle, a stuffy bundle with Tyler Thrasher. You get a stuffed Geralt, the Binacorn from the Adventure Zone Balance campaign, and Tyler's Schrodinger's Cat Blind Box, which includes one of three possible cat plushies, which are very adorable. 10% of all proceeds this month will go to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. You can check all that out over at
McElroyMerch.com. Thank you so much to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. My life is better with this song in it. It's the ringtone on my Nokia. And whenever it jingles at the bank, people are like, what is that groovy beat?
Mm-hmm. And I started playing it in my car while I was driving my kids around. I was playing What You Mean to Me, which my girls love. And Doc goes, Montaigne, how did you find Montaigne music? And I said, on my phone, baby. And she's like, phones are amazing. So
they there sure you go. Are. Phones sure. are incredible. Do we have a wish?
We do.
Yeah.
Justin, do you want to read it?
Yeah, Trav, I'd be happy to. Thank you so much.
How school.
I wish that I could tell the different Transformers characters apart. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Charles Zachary.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.